2 Timothy chapter 3.
We're familiar with verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But the verse I actually want to look at is the verse that precedes that. In verse number 15, God tells us, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I would have picked a song had I picked. I had one picked out, but we just ran out of time. But that's okay. It would have been about the Word of God. Where would we be without God's Word? Just the way I grew up, you know, I had no father figure. My dad was around, but he was always working, and I never saw him except on the weekends. He was usually sleeping. And so I didn't have my first father figure until I went off to Bible college. And it was Larry Emery, of all people. And that's why I was just scared to death of him, because I didn't know how to react to him, but he was just an example of a godly man, and I just appreciate him so much. But the Word of God has taught me everything and given me instruction and direction in life. But in this verse, what does the Word of God do for us? It makes us wise unto salvation. Without the Word of God, I don't believe a man can be saved. The Word of God tells us that we're sinners. It tells us of the solution, Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And it tells us of heaven to gain and hell to shun. And so I believe that the Word of God is a requirement or a necessity to help us escape from the flames of fire. It tells us those flames are eternal. It tells us that's where all naturally go. We talked about this past Sunday. But you know, I don't believe that this idea of being wise unto salvation ends at the moment of salvation, because the Word of God continues to teach us that. How many of you understand what regeneration is? How many of you understand all the nuances of salvation? I hope you at least have a handle on it. If you don't know it that well at this point, be working on that. But I'll bet you know it a lot better now than the day you got saved. You see, the scriptures, as we apply them to our lives and spend time in them, help us understand what happened on that day. Make us wise to salvation. But it not just as our schoolmaster showing us our sin in our lives, but it also helps us expect what God, I'm sorry, helps us understand what God expects from us. And so, you know, how would we know how to please God apart from the Word of God? And so I lump all this into that one verse, that the Word of God, the Scriptures, are able to make us wise unto salvation. And so we ought not be in the dark. We ought not be ignorant of what salvation is all about. We should know what it is, because the Word of God helps us to understand that. Another thing that the Word of God does for us, does anyone know what Romans 10:17 says? Exactly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what does the Word of God do for us there? It increases our faith. So we need never have a small faith. God talks about having faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And we know seeds that are smaller than the mustard seed today, but that was the smallest seed they knew back then. Or if not, it was a figure of speech of something very, very minute. God says that's really all we need, but there's no reason for us to continue with mustard seed-sized faith. We should have the faith that's able to move a mountain. Well, how do we get that? By looking at the Word of God, and as we go through the Word of God, we find out the truth of Scripture. There's so many debates going on in our culture, evolution versus creation, abortion versus life, I should say murder or death versus life. We find out what the truth is in the Word of God, because the Word of God is always true and it records the truth for us. There are no errors in it. And it's fully reliable. Fully reliable. God cannot lie. Amen. Think about that. It's so easy to tell a lie, isn't it? Maybe you don't have a problem with that. When I was growing up, man, I was a little liar. And I know somewhere along the line I've told you the story, maybe I haven't, of the day I figured out it's probably better to tell the truth. I don't remember if I told you, so I'll go ahead and tell you. We had to wash dishes as punishment, so I washed a lot of dishes growing up. And my mom had one knife that was just ultra sharp. And it was her favorite kitchen knife. And I was washing it one day, and we had to dry it off right away so it didn't get any rust on it. And I'm drying away at it, not just thinking about other things. And I got done. I went to hang the towel back up, and I had shredded it. That knife was sharp. And so all of a sudden, the panic sets in. Oh, no, I just ruined Mom's towel. And so then the question is, what do I do? Do I hide it? Do I throw it away in the trash? Do I run and hide? Or do I just tell the truth? And I decided I'll tell Mom what happened. And I did. And to my surprise, I didn't get punished. She appreciated me telling the truth. And from then on, I tried to tell the truth. But it's easy to lie. But you know, God cannot lie. Even if he wanted to, he cannot lie. I think that's a wonderful thing. And so we find out about that in the Word of God. We have faith in the truth of the Word of God. We also find out faith through the Word of God. Our faith can be increased in the reliability of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Is what Zechariah was told in Zechariah 4:6. And so when we are asked by God to do something for him, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be concerned. We can do it because the Spirit of God rests within us and empowers us to the task. When we face situations in life, we can deal with it. We may not have that grace now, but when the time comes, God will supply it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We learn these things in the Word of God. As we see so many examples of the people of God in the Bible that face situations like we do and see how God worked in and through them. Then there's one other thing that I'm thankful for the Scriptures. They're able to make us wise unto salvation, able to increase our faith. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, does anyone know that verse? All right, well, let's turn there. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so a third thing the Word of God does for us is it shows us the way to success. Doesn't everyone want to be successful in life? I don't think there's any young person that you would ask that's what they want to do when they grow up. They don't say, "I want to be a loser," or "I want to be a failure," "I want to be a bum." They don't ever say that, do they? They have plans and big plans generally. Well, the only way they're going to achieve success is by heeding the Word of God. You see, the Word of God defines success. In the end of Ecclesiastes, we recently read this in our scripture reading in the morning worship service, that it's just simply heeding God's commandments, pleasing God. They also motivate us to success, gaining eternal rewards, and avoiding God's chastisement. Remember the fella the farmer who built bigger barns because he had such a successful farm? And he said, "I'm going to retire and just take it easy." And then he died. And God rebukes him, not for having a successful farm or a productive farm, but for not taking time out for God. You see, he wasn't successful, not according to God's terminology and God's definition. And so the Word of God tells us what success is and then motivates us to success by the rewards. And then he empowers us through the Word of God to success. John 15:3, we are clean through the Word of God. And so that will empower us to success. So the Word of God is vital in the Christian life. And that's why I'm grateful for the Word of God and why we all ought to hunger for it. Wait till you see the picture on this Sunday's bulletin. Hopefully it'll bring a smile to your face. It will to mine, will to my wife's. It's our granddaughter on the picture up front of it. But Pastor Stephen got her in a good picture to go along with the scripture that goes along with it. And so anyway, you'll have to come back Sunday to find out what it's all about. All right, well, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word and so grateful for your salvation, sending your son to die on the cross for us. So thankful that we live in a nation that sets aside one day as a national holiday to return thanks to you for the blessings you've given to us as individuals, but also as a nation. We have so much to be grateful for. It would take much more than a day to recount even a fraction of it. But Father, at least we take this day to do so. Bless our times with our families. Bless our time around your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.